So with that, please open your Bible to Psalm 20, and if you are able to stand for the reading of God's Word, then please do. So reading from verse 1, in times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry. May the name of the God of Jacob keep you safe from all harm. May he send you help from his sanctuary and strengthen you from Jerusalem. May he remember all your gifts and look favorably on your burnt offerings. May he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy when we hear of your victory and raise a victory banner in the name of our God. May the Lord answer all your prayers. Now I know that the Lord rescues his anointed king. He will answer him from his holy heaven and rescue him by his great power. Some nations boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord. Those nations will fall down and collapse, but we will rise up and stand firm. Give victory to our King, O Lord. Answer our cry for help. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we welcome you into this building today. As we begin our service, we ask that your Spirit would move mightily among us. Father, we intercede for every individual here, Lord, asking that you open their hearts to your word and to your will. We also lift up those who are not able to join us in person, praying that you meet them wherever they are. We pray for the sick and the weary and the brokenhearted that your comfort and healing would be upon them. Guide every aspect of our service this morning, Father, from the worship to the message, and let it all be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So before we begin, I just want to do a quick acknowledgement to Pastor Rich Bitterman's for his commentary on Psalm 20 and 21. So we read Psalm 20. Psalm 20 is a psalm that shows us how to win spiritual battles. Psalm 20 is a battle psalm. It doesn't begin with a plan. It begins with a prayer. For David, it was a real battle. For us, it represents our spiritual battles. In one that we need, a reminder that no battle that a Christian fights, small or large, need ever be lost. Verse 1 says, in times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry. May the name of the God of Jacob keep you safe from all harm. So David and his men are on the brink of war. But before the first sword is raised, something beautiful happens. The soldiers pray, not for themselves, but an intercessory prayer for their king, David, a persistent, specific, and united prayer. The kind of prayer that says, if God doesn't show up, then we're finished. Now, the Israelites, they don't trust in their weapons. They don't boast in their training. They lift their voices toward the sanctuary, toward Zion, toward the presence of God, and they invoke the name of Jacob's God. Why Jacob? Because he's the man who met God not in victory, but in desperation. The God of Jacob is a profound biblical title that encapsulates God's relational, transformative, and personal nature. It serves as a reminder of God's unwavering faithfulness and his active involvement in the lives of his people, both in ancient times and in this room today. So they call on that God, the God who doesn't wait for perfect prayers, but answers broken ones. And they cry out to God in unison, and beginning in verse 2, may he send help from his sanctuary and strengthen you from Jerusalem. May he remember all your gifts and look favorably on your burnt offerings, and may he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. This is not a rote prayer. This is preparing for battle. They know something we too often forget. The battle is won or lost before the first blow lands. Verse 5 reads, may we shout for joy when we hear of your victory and raise a victory banner in the name of our God. May the Lord answer all your prayers. Now, they haven't fought yet, but they believe that they will win. Do you pray with the expectation of winning? You can see them, an army on its feet, lifting the flags high. It's a faith declaration for the victory that hasn't even happened yet. But that's what real prayer does. It doesn't just prepare us to endure the fight. It gives us the courage to step into the fight. We don't pray so that we can escape. We pray so that we can stand. And then Daniel speaks in verse 6. David speaks in verse 6. Now I know that the Lord rescues his anointed king. He will answer him from his holy heaven and rescue him by his great power. Not I hope, not I feel, but I know. Do you have this confidence and boldness before the throne of grace? That's the kind of certainty that only comes from surrender. David hasn't drawn his sword yet, but he already knows the outcome because he's standing on a promise. And we too have God's promises to stand on, and we access those promises through prayer, lifted up to God the Father by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Is this your experience when you pray? Praying with the unshakable belief that God hears your prayers and will be faithful to respond. And then in verse 7, some nations boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. Now the enemy had horses and chariots. David had none. Yet he had something far greater. He had the name of the Lord, and that was enough. What do you trust in? Where does your faith rest? What chariots has Satan placed in your path? Our only real hope is God himself. And David knew that, and he trusted in that. And then they pray again in verses 8 and 9. Those nations will fall down and collapse, but we will rise up and stand firm. Give victory to our King, O Lord. Answer our cry for help. They demonstrated that confidence in God doesn't end prayer, it deepens it. And this is the beautiful spiral of prayer in the Christian life. Prayer leads to courage, which leads to confidence, which leads to more prayer. The only thing that breaks the spiral is the absence of spending time with God. Psalm 20 is a battle song. It sings to sing in our times of trouble. When temptation whispers your name, maybe when you feel overwhelmed by guilt, maybe when your circumstances are difficult and compromise seems easier, when prayer might feel dry and holiness feels far away, when our resources are exhausted and the only option that we have is to lean on God's resources, We need to call out, give victory to us, O Lord. And you need to remember that no battle need ever be lost, not because you're strong, but because God is present. Through Christ, we are overcomers. And then we turn to the very next psalm, which is really a continuation of Psalm 20, Psalm 21. And the God of Jacob has not changed. The battlefield is still hot. And King David breathes deep because he has asked the Lord for life, and God said yes. He prayed, God answered, and David was victorious. This psalm begins with blood still on the ground. Psalm 21 doesn't soothe, it confronts. It's a victory song. A song meant to awaken the war-torn, call the weary into worship, and crown a king for the win. But don't misunderstand, this psalm will not let you stay comfortable. In Psalm 21, the king stands victorious, not by strategy, not by strength, but by something far more reassuring, the strength of God. It is helpful to read this psalm from a personal perspective. As we read this psalm, place your name into the lyrics. The battlefield isn't a hill outside Jerusalem. It's your thought life. It's your struggles, your disappointments, your failures, maybe your whispered prayers in the early morning, and the mercies that God answered. So reading Psalm 21, beginning in verse 1, how the king rejoices in your strength, O Lord. He shouts with joy because you give him victory. For you have given him his heart's desire. You have withheld nothing he requested. You welcomed him back with success and prosperity. You placed a crown of finest gold on his head. He asked you to preserve his life, and you granted his request. The days of his life stretch on forever. Your victory brings him great honor, and you have clothed him with splendor and majesty. You have endowed him with eternal blessings and given him the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. The unfailing love of the Most High will keep him from stumbling. This is the army singing about the king. They are roaring thanks to the God who delivers. He could have died. He could have lost the kingdom. You can feel the psalm. It pulses really with breathless joy. God didn't just show up. He overwhelmed. And the words don't change, but the meaning does. Yes, this is about David. It's also about you and I. You know these fights. You know, the world doesn't just tempt. It grinds. But by the grace of God, you don't fall, you stand. And sometimes God says yes in ways that bring tears to your eyes and steel to your spine. This is not polite Sunday faith. This is the moment you realize that you didn't conquer that sin on your own, that you didn't make it through that trial by grit. You were met. And that's the miracle. And you were crowned. Not with gold, but with a slow-growing dignity of obedience and sanctification. And there is a majesty that rests on a Christian who has fought and bled and prayed and worshiped their way through temptation and trials and heartache. Because joy does not come from ease. It comes from knowing that you could have fallen, but by the grace of God, you didn't. The reality is that through prayer is how we participate in God's miracles. Now ask yourself this morning, am I participating in God's miracles through fervent prayer? Now continuing in verse 8 from Psalm 21. You will capture all your enemies. Your strong right hand will seize all who hate you. You will throw them in a flaming furnace when you appear. The Lord will consume them in his anger. Fire will devour them. You will wipe their children from the face of the earth. They will never have descendants. Although they plot against you, their evil schemes will never succeed. For they will turn and run when they see your arrows aimed at them. Psalm 21 in the end is not just about David. It's not just about us. It's about the king who drank the cup and crushed the serpent, was lifted onto a cross to bear our sins, rose from the grave, and ascended into heaven, Jesus Christ. And this isn't a polite poem anymore. This is resurrection. This is a king who stood where no one else could stand, under wrath, and conquered death by dying. He didn't win with horses, he won with wounds, and now ascended, now reigning, no longer the Lamb. He is the Lord of armies. This is the Jesus of Revelation, eyes like fire, voice like rushing water, sword from his mouth. The crucified is now crowned. The Lamb is now the Lion of Judah. And the pierced hand now carries justice. Every enemy, sin, Satan, and death will fall by his own hand. And this is the Jesus that we pray to. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise. Psalm 21 ends in praise. Verse 13 says, "Rise up, O Lord, in all your power, with music and singing, we celebrate your mighty acts." And that's it. That's the whole point. David fought, you fight, Christ conquers. And the only proper response is worship. And not the kind that's half awake in a pew, but the kind that comes from finding victory amidst spiritual battles. The kind of praise that rises not from comfort, but from the rubble of spiritual battles where God came through. So meditate on this psalm. Let it wash over you. I think it will ruin shallow faith. I think it will wreck lazy Christianity. It will remind you that your victories are not yours, that they were given. That Christ's crown was not inherited, it was earned. And that the long-term future, it's not murky, it's glory. And that the final enemy will fall, and that your prayers are not wasted. Our meditations call us to declare before the Lord, "May I live a life worthy in response to what you have done for me." May I live a life worthy in response to what you have done for me. And our meditations call us to shout as David's army did in verse 13, "Rise up, O Lord, in all your power, with music and singing, we celebrate your mighty acts." And as David's army shouted the Lord's praises, so too should we, who represent Renew's army. So please, this is unusual. So please join me. Let's shout this out together with arms raised to our risen King and say it with me. Rise up, O Lord, in all your power, with music and singing, we celebrate your mighty acts. Amen and amen. Thank you. That was awesome. I wasn't sure how you would respond to that, but you did really well. Thank you. So this morning, we are focusing our attention on the importance of prayer. And it has been said that the most distinguishing mark of a Christian is prayer. The title of this teaching this morning is A Praying Church. Now, my prayer in sharing Psalm 20 and 21 this morning is it would arouse you to fully comprehend the power that we possess as Christians that is only attainable through prayer. And then to encourage us as a body to find more opportunities to pray more passionately, to pray more fervently, to become more focused on intercessory prayer, to become more involved in activities at Renew Church related to prayer, to be more open about asking for prayer, to create more pathways at Renew for prayer to occur, and to expand our gatherings for prayer. So this is our focus this morning. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. And the primary weapon that we deploy is prayer. In the King James Version of the Bible, James 5:16 has a word to describe intense prayer. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent prayer is that model of passionate and sincere calling out to God, whether out of thankfulness, repentance, or need. So my prayer this morning is that the power of prayer that we just read about in Psalm 20 and 21 will elevate how we at Renew Church approach prayer in our lives and build a desire in us to become prayer warriors. And not just on Sunday, but every day of our lives. To wake up praying and go to sleep praying and consciously praying throughout the day. When we surrender our lives to Christ, we are admitting that we are dependent upon Him. And this dependence reaches every aspect of our lives. Each decision we face in life is filtered through Jesus Christ, whom we place in the middle between what we're wrestling with and the ultimate outcome or ultimate decision. We put Christ right in the middle of every one of those decisions that we make in our life. And I pray that we commit ourselves today to become more committed to intercessory prayer, both independently and corporately as a church body. And that we give Jesus our trust in all things, at all times, in all circumstances. Now, the act of praying allows us to listen closely to God's voice without interruptions. When we isolate ourselves from the surrounding chaos, we create a sacred place for dialogue with God, fostering a deeper understanding of His will for us. Praying nurtures our faith, gives us clarity on decisions we face, and is a beautiful practice that deepens our relationship with God. Alone time with God in prayer empowers us to rise above our circumstances, knowing that we have His strength and that God is always there to lift us up. Now, what examples did Jesus demonstrate for us? In Luke 5, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. In Mark 1, it says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. In Matthew 14, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. So as followers of Christ, we are called to emulate Jesus' example of fervent and persistent prayer, to seek communion with God, to surrender to His guidance in our lives and dependence on His wisdom and power in all aspects of life. Through prayer, we can experience the transformative work of the Holy Spirit, deepen our relationship with God, and fulfill our calling to advance His kingdom and glorify His name. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. And Psalm 25 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. And then Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Now, many Christians in today's culture fill their days with so many to-dos that praying has been placed on the back burner. Prayer has become a quick exercise of lifting up streams of our list of wants, followed by a rushed amen. How many times in your life have you been talking to someone on your phone and you say to those nearby, "Quiet, I can't hear." And then you have to raise your voice again and say, "Quiet, I can't hear." Well, you might find that maybe that's what you need to say to yourself when you're praying. "Quiet, Richard, I can't hear." In our busy life, we are not leaving room for God. We are too distracted. We have a to-do list. We have more important things. We just need to get this 5 minutes of time with God over with so we can get on with our tasks for the day. As a result, you might then ask Pastor Dallas, "Pastor, I'm not hearing God's voice in my life." And Pastor Dallas might first ask you, "Are you taking the time to listen? Are you giving God the chance to speak into your life as you dwell with Him?" The truth is, the quieter you become, the more you can hear. And silence is not empty. It's often full of answers. Ask yourself this morning, are you being with God at least as much as you are doing for God? Think about your to-do list for one moment. Does it have 20 things listed on it each day? Now think about Jesus. He had just one to-do, save the world. And yet, as we read earlier, He set aside His task to spend considerable time in prayer. One way for us to consider this is Jesus modeled for us that our to-do list is best performed by remaining in Him as He did in the Father. So maybe our daily to-do list should list glorify God as the priority and prayer as our first step. And while praying alone is about speaking to God, it is equally important to listen for His voice. This practice of listening creates a dialogue rather than a monologue, allowing God to guide us as we make room for His voice to speak truth into our lives. And with this approach, prayer creates an intimacy that empowers us to trust Him more fully and rely on His guidance through every situation. I want to show you this picture from Psalm 63:7. "Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings." Is that beautiful? That's what God does for us. We take refuge and we rest as He protects us in the shadow of His wings. I think it's a beautiful portrayal and a real cute little birdie too. Let's read John 15, verses 1 to 8. "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." Charles Spurgeon said, "Prayer is a necessity to a Christian's life, just as breath is a necessity to life. Prayer is an essential component of abiding in Christ. When our prayer life is active, we develop the habit of habitually asking. It becomes a natural behavior as we develop a great need for prayer. And is this a natural behavior in your Christian life? As a branch grows and desires more from the vine, abiding in Christ causes the more I grow to be like him, the more I desire to obtain from him. You will not want to stop asking. Our life becomes a fruitful response to what we have been given in Christ. True prayer is measured not by length, but by weight. One heartfelt sentence may have more depth than a 10-minute prayer. We long to bear fruit to glorify the Father. God's promises come from abiding in him. Aspire to be a prayer warrior. If you remain in Christ, this power is available to you. We are to remain in Christ. We are to be tenacious, clinging to Christ, trusting in Christ. And as the verses said, we are nothing if we do not remain in him. A vine only produces fruit by its branches. As a church body, we are essential to Jesus' mission. The church, all of you, is his body. Our responsibility is to bear fruit as we glorify Christ in our lives. So ask yourself this morning, am I bearing fruit for Christ? Am I glorifying Christ in my life? Prayer allows Jesus to be the source and the object of our life. Oh, the joy and the peace that comes from remaining in the vine. And every part of me that bears fruit will be pruned so that I will bear more fruit. Abiding in Christ gives me the strength to endure every trial. So as we are sanctified, we are to remain in Christ as when we were first justified. When we focus on ourselves and not others, when we esteem ourselves too highly or become selfish in our desires, we separate from the vine. This tree picture that we've been looking at this morning, this is my favorite background slide that we use on Sunday morning. It is the perfect picture of abiding. The trunk of the tree is the vine. The branches are the ones that produce the leaves or the fruit. And I like to think of the trunk. Every time I look at that tree, I'm thinking of the trunk as us gathering here at Renew on Sunday morning. And we fellowship and we study the word and we pray for one another and we worship God. And then the branches represent us heading out to do our work during the week for the Lord in many varied and different ways. And then the following Sunday, we're right back, abiding and receiving again from the trunk to grow as a body. This picture is a beautiful portrayal that our work for Christ must first be Christ's work in us. If you want the power of prayer, you must remain in a loving, living, lasting, practical union with the Lord. How do we get his power in prayer? From the fullness of Christ. Whatever we desire already resides in him. Whatever the branch wants, it gets from the vine by remaining. And we have access to the vine, the fullness of Christ. And if everything I desire is already in me through the Spirit of Christ, then why would I ever look anywhere else? God's fullness is in Christ, and Christ's fullness is in us. The most effective praying Christians are the ones who know and believe in the promises of God. We pray God's promises to him. Father, do as you said you would do. And how do we prevail at the throne of grace? Lord, do not give me what I wish, but that which you will. And then we can say with confidence, my Lord hears me. And just as Christ said that God hears him. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He works in us to will what God wills. God inclines us through the Holy Spirit to do what he desires us to do. I read this recently and I added it this morning. I think it's beautiful. B.J. Wilhite said about prayer, it's an interesting perspective. So he says, so when we pray, we are not changing God. However, we are positioning ourselves to receive what he already wants to give. Heaven's purposes are waiting for earthly permission. Prayer is that permission. When God's people pray, God makes a way. I think that's a beautiful way that God is just waiting for you to speak with him, to ask. He can't wait to bless you. Water break. Okay, continuing with our theme on prayer. Let's spend a few minutes on the importance of intercessory prayer. You know, prayer must be viewed as a critical component of actually a greater command, a Christian's focus on loving others. At Renew Church, one of our key pillars is fellowship and relationship. And our commitment to our brothers and sisters allows intercessory prayer to be a natural, anticipated, and welcomed action that we do for one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Mark 12 and verse 29 says, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Now, maybe some of you have never participated in face-to-face intercessory prayer or praying publicly in intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer can seem intimidating, yet it's simply what we do when we pray for the needs of others. Now, I understand that maybe it can feel awkward, or you might feel you would be embarrassed, or you might not be afraid you wouldn't know what to say, but the Holy Spirit will take care of all that. But the greatest intercession in the history of mankind was Jesus Christ being lifted on the cross to die for our sins, to become the mediator between us and God the Father, and he interceded on our behalf, and it is our Christian duty to follow his lead and to intercede for others. And Jesus elevated the second commandment even higher when he wrote in John 15, 12, he said, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way that I have loved you. That definitely raised that bar. So we don't come to church to be comfortable. We come to church to be confronted with the pain and the suffering and the struggles and the challenges and the trials that our brothers and sisters are going through. Intercessory prayers help focus our hearts on the importance of loving and supporting one another in faith. Intercessory prayers help shift the focus from our personal needs to the needs of others, fostering a sense of unity in the body of Christ. As we pray for others, we experience God's love and power just flowing through us, bringing peace and encouragement to others. As we abide in Christ, we must not separate Christ from his word. He has commanded us to love God and to love others. Now, we've all experienced a time when God woke us out of a sound sleep and put someone on our minds. Or maybe it's while we were driving or working or gardening or doing the laundry. But when that happens, God wants us to take a moment and intercede in prayer for that person. We don't need to know precisely what they're going through because we can trust that God knows. And I also think of intercessory prayer as momentarily putting ourselves in the other person's shoes. Set aside your thoughts and concerns and let your mind focus on the person you're praying for because they need prayer. Now, most of us had a person we were praying for at a specific time and day and tell us later that at that very moment they were going through something and they could tell someone was praying. Now, Hebrews 7, verse 25 says, therefore he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. And as Christians, we are called to intercede for our brothers and sisters. Intercessory prayer is standing in the gap as a bridge between Jesus and the person or situation that we're praying for and seeking Jesus' intervention, guidance, help, healing, protection, blessings. Intercession is rooted in Scripture, where God instructs us to pray for all people. And this form of prayer is an expression of love and compassion, and praying for others is more than just a religious duty. It's an act of love. It expresses our care and concern for others and brings them before God's throne of grace. So let's make it a priority as a church to pray for others regularly, showing our love through heartfelt intercession. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and thank them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. And this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone, and this is God's message to the world at just the right time. So being a praying Christian means staying in touch and in tune with the Holy Spirit in our spiritual and daily lives. The more we become obedient to God's call to pray and intercede, the more he'll use us. And you, as his instrument for prayer. What a blessing for those we're led to pray for and for us. I humbly submit that I am a very motivated prayer warrior. And I believe in great part it is because I can testify on my own about the power of intercessory prayer. In my 13-year battle with aggressive prostate cancer to 2 detached retina surgeries and 3 hip replacements on the same hip, this one, he's bad, but he's good now. I know with confidence that I stand here this morning through the grace of God and the power of intercessory prayer. And I thank each of you for your unceasing prayers. And I praise and thank God every day for his blessings. I think I need some water. Okay. So the elder board's personal experiences, coupled with the understanding that through prayer we have seen God perform miracles with many others in our church body and beyond, has inspired and motivated us to elevate our attention to prayer through our prayer initiative, that we would truly be a praying church. As we become more mature in our faith, as we get closer to God, you might think that the Christian walk gets easier, but no. It just seems to get tougher. Everyone needs intercessory prayer. A soldier fights for his or her fellow combatants, and the greatest thing you can do for someone else is to pray for them. We are all to care for each other. We are all in a spiritual battle, and pray that you would have the boldness and courage and clarity in your prayers for others. Now at Renew Church, we are truly blessed to be a loving and caring family. When we take our request to God, we know he is listening, and God will answer in his timing and in his way. Praying for others, interceding for others, is what we do on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in the elementary room across the hall. But it can also happen spontaneously in the lobby, or up front in the sanctuary after service up here, or in the kitchen, or in the parking lot. We are called to be open to being prayed for, and we are called to be open to engaging in intercessory prayer, including spontaneously in the moment that we see it needed. How might you show love in action today? Well, first, come to church with others on your heart and in your mind. Come to church with a mindset of, who can I bless today? Who can I encourage today? Who can I pray for today? Who can I be a friend to today? Additionally, you can attend our 9 a.m. Sunday morning prayer. Ephesians 6 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So before presenting to you our new prayer initiative at Renew, I want to share a few kind of summary thoughts on prayer. So they're going to show, there's about 10 of them, and they're just going to show up on slides individually. So I want to share these with you. I think they're really interesting and very powerful. So the first one is, it is through prayer that we experience the presence of God. The next one is, we participate in the miracles of God through prayer. Through intercessory prayer, we turn our love for others into action. In prayer, the problem shifts to the problem solver, Jesus. At the core, prayer is spending time with God. Prayer enables me to keep Jesus at the center of everything in my life. And the most powerful force on earth is prayer. And prayer is the greatest privilege in life. Jesus did not die boldly and publicly for us to live for him timidly and secretly. Pray like a warrior, not like a weakling. And pray your hardest when it's hardest to pray. So at this time, I want to introduce you to what we're calling our new prayer initiative. And it's not that Renew Church is not a praying church, but God has put it on our hearts that we can do more, that God is seeking more from us, that he wants us to be more in prayer, he wants us to spend more time with him. And that is the driver behind this prayer initiative. So I mentioned earlier this morning that this initiative is focused on encouraging us as a body to find more opportunities to pray more fervently, to become more focused on intercessory prayer, to become more involved in activities at Renew Church related to prayer, to be more open about asking for prayer, to create more pathways at Renew for prayer to occur, and to expand our gatherings for prayer. Whew, that's a lot. But this is what our prayer initiative has been created to accomplish. So we're going to walk through a few things here. So I first want to draw your attention to the prayer card in the seat pocket in front of you. So please take it out at this time. So why don't you look, just make sure you're on the prayer request, praise report side. So name, contact, and then write the prayer. Is it a prayer request or is it a praise report? And then you can indicate who you wish to be praying. Do you just want this to go to the elder board? Or would you like to also include the prayer team? Or would you like to also include the life groups? If you check all three boxes, then over 100 people will be praying for you, for your prayer the next week. Then the last one, would you like to be contacted personally regarding this prayer request? And then the prayer card should be placed in front in one of our prayer boxes. I don't know if you saw them when you came in. There's one between the double doors back there. There's one on the media wall going out this exit. And there's one because we also want to incorporate our children into submitting prayer requests. So there's one just outside of Dallas's office. And hopefully we're going to see a lot more usage of these prayer requests. Now, an elder or designated prayer team member will collect the prayer cards each Sunday following service, and then they will be distributed appropriately, however the individual requested. And one additional thing, we will close the feedback loop by contacting the person and letting them know that their prayer request has been prayed over. Now, my encouragement to you this morning is to please begin using these prayer cards. There's not one person sitting here in this sanctuary that does not need prayer. And we're encouraging you to be very active in submitting your prayer cards each week. And finally, on the back of the prayer card is a new visitor information card. So if you are a visitor today, then please fill this out, and then you can put it in. There's a slot on the top of the prayer boxes that you can slide it in there. So please do that if you're visiting with us today. So these are our new prayer request cards, and very excited about that. But before continuing, I want to acknowledge Shannon Brewer and Lauren Phillips, who proactively came to the Elder Board with the idea for a new prayer card, and it was a wonderful and blessed spark to move this initiative forward. So thank you, Shannon and Lauren. And I also want to acknowledge Kelly Fisher for her beautiful penmanship on the front of our prayer boxes. Now, the second piece of this initiative is we are expanding our 9 a.m. Sunday morning prayer. For over 2 years, we've held an every other week prayer time before Sunday service. Effective today, we will have Sunday prayer at 9 a.m. every Sunday. Now, we encourage each of you to begin attending our prayer service. It is a very blessed time, and all are invited. Please join us if you can only make it one Sunday a month. And if you don't want to pray out loud, then just come and lift your voice silently in unison with others. It is a remarkably blessed time, and to just set your heart and your mind ready for Sunday morning, and you're praying over everything that's happening in this building and then whatever other prayers might be raised up that day. And there's a lot of intercessory prayer as well. Now, I do have an exhortation for you. At our last prayer meeting in April, okay, we had 4 people. Okay, this morning we had 6. Now, I'm confident that going forward, we are going to do much better than that. We have over 200 adults at Renew Church that call this their home church. I think coming to prayer at 9 a.m. on Sunday, at least one Sunday a month, is a good thing. I'd be happy to see you there, but I think the Lord would really be happy to see you there. So we're praying that this initiative will put it on your heart to become a Sunday morning prayer warrior. Now, the third piece of this initiative is we're creating a formal prayer ministry team. If you're looking for an opportunity to serve the Lord at Renew, then we would love to have you formally join our prayer team. The responsibilities are not burdensome, and we need you. Now, there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby, and I pray that there will be many names on that sheet. It's going to be out there for the next few weeks. Please pray about joining. Even if you're serving somewhere else, please come and join us with our prayer ministry team. And if you're not serving but looking for an opportunity, we'd love to have you to sign up. And there'll be more information that will be coming out in the near future about that. And then the fourth and final piece is we're excited to inform you that beginning this summer, we will be hosting a prayer, praise, and worship night once a quarter on Sunday night, and childcare will be provided. We will be asking, on that Sunday, we'll be asking the life groups who meet on Sunday night to meet there and to be a part of our Sunday night. So once a quarter, I think that could work great. The Elder Board encourages all of you to attend, and we're working on the details now for the first evening. So many of you sitting here this morning are already prayer warriors, although perhaps you're not involved in all the opportunities at Renew for prayer. So we do invite you to do so. And we invite you to become a part of our prayer ministry. Now, my teaching this morning was titled A Praying Church. And if there is one thing that I pray you take away from this morning, more than anything, is your willingness to engage in intercessory prayer. I would love for people to know that they can walk into a new church and they can be prayed for, that someone is going to see their need and is going to say, "Can I pray for you?" And they will pray for them right there. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It could be 30 seconds, could be 1 minute. But let's be a praying church anytime we are gathered together. We would love to see people come up to the front of the sanctuary after Sunday service. We always have some elders up here, and once we get our prayer ministry team established in the next couple of weeks, then we will have a couple of ladies up here as well who will be happy to pray also. So please consider that, and if you want to pray privately, then just come up to someone and say, can we go somewhere more private and pray? I have some things to talk about. But please take advantage of talking with our elders and often Pastor Dallas is up here as well. So as I head into prayer, just leave this with you. Let's be a praying church. Let's pray. Father God, first, we thank you for all the blessings you've given us in our lives. And the greatest blessing is the gift of your Son. His sacrifice for us on the cross is overwhelming. To know that the blood of Jesus washes over us, that one day we can stand before you righteous because you see the blood of your Son washed over us and given us the righteousness of Christ. What a gift. And Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that you desire to hear from us and to have a relationship with us, that you thought of us and knit each one of us in our mother's wombs, and you have plans for our entire life. You are with us, and you are for us, and you desire a relationship with us. And Father, instill in us a life of prayer, a prayer of surrendering to you and coming before you, and a life of praying for others. Father, we want to love you with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength, and we desire to love others as you have loved us. You have shown us the way, Father. Now may we respond. May Renew Church be a praying church. If there is one thing that characterizes Renew Church, Father, may it be that we are about your work and constant communication with you. And so, Father, I ask that you would speak into each person's mind and heart this morning to consider, how can I be a prayer warrior? What can I do differently than I'm doing today? So, Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for answered prayer. So go with us now, Father. We love you and we praise you and we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.